We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Is the head coach at East Tennessee State University, Steve Forbes. He joins us now. Forbes!
What's up, Burnout?
Hey, man. How's it going?
It's going great. It's a sad day, but you know, it's going good here at East Tennessee State, but it's obviously a very sad day with Coach Summitt passing away.
What was the first thing that ran through your mind?
Well, that she was young. She's 64 years old. She should still be coaching, and it's just a deadly bad disease that she had, and it's just a sad deal. She wasn't ready to retire by no means, and I think she had so much more to give, and she just wasn't, you know, able to do that. And that was the first thing, I guess. You know, and then just my first time I met her, it's interesting. I agreed to be the assistant coach of Tennessee, but I asked Coach Pearl, I was at Texas A&M, and I asked him to fly me down just so I could see Knoxville. I really had to spend any time in Knoxville. I wanted to see the campus. So I was there for 24 hours, and they were walking me around, showing me facilities. And then they said, well, you have to go meet Coach Summitt. I said, what? I had to go sit and interview with Coach Summitt for a half hour. She told me how important Tennessee was to her and how important Tennessee athletics was to her. And then she squarely looked me in the face and said, basically asked me, what do you bring to the table? I mean, I was like, what?
Wait, hold on now. You were interviewing for an assistant's job for the men's basketball team and they made you go sit with Pat Summitt?
Yes, that wasn't. I'm not going to tell you that I was interviewing because Bruce had already offered me the job, okay? I mean, I was coming. I just wanted to see, you know, I never had spent any time. I'm from the Midwest. I never had spent any time in Knoxville.
Right.
So I really wanted to see it before I said, you know, 100%, yeah, I'm going to take the job. I knew I was going to do it, but I didn't expect to meet with her. I mean, why would she care, you know, about meeting with the men's basketball assistant? But she did. And she was, I mean, I'm sitting across from her going, wow, I'm meeting with Pat Summitt. I mean, it's crazy, you know. But to show you about our relationship with her, Verno, we had two McDonald's. Elliot Williams was on his visit, and Chris Singleton, two McDonald's All-Americans. And the Friday night meal we had on their official visit was at Pat's house. We took her, they had a couple of really good players visiting, so we just had the, you know, our meal that night over at her house. We had a great relationship with her. Yeah.
Yeah. Better to have the meals at Pat Summitt's house, let's just say.
Oh, there you go. Okay, funny guy.
I had to.
Interstate, you know, barbecue with that too or something. I don't know.
All right, so this guy.
Listen, for 5 years I worked down the hall from her, and the thing that struck me the most about her was she was the greatest coach in her profession, and you wouldn't have known it just by being around her. She was very genuine, very humble, and somebody who was very comfortable in her skin, and she loved it when we won. She did. She was behind us 100%, And that was the thing that struck me the most is all the times I'd see her, you know, and talk to her. She's just a regular person, and she's really not. She's an icon, but she never acted like it.
I actually relayed that same sentiment. I was talking earlier, we played some clips over the years when she mm-hmm. was on. When I first had her on, I was scared just because I figured she's going to be serious and she's going to be intimidating, right? She's got it's like the friggin' court's named after her, and she's, like, larger than life, right? Like, what does she care about, you know, some idiot in Memphis doing an interview with her, whatever? And it was like, I got done, and I remember walking into Roser being like, she's the coolest. Like, it was like talking to your buddy's cool mom or something. She was so unlike what I thought.
Me and Shay were just talking about it. You know, she came in one year, I think it was the year they won the national title. Maybe. It might have been Candace's junior year. I can't remember. But somebody got hurt, and she had to move Candace to play some point. And she came in the office, and we X and O'd with her for a couple of hours, just coming up with new sets for her to run, you know, help give her some ideas to Candace, you know, with the ball in her hands. And, she was always trying to learn, you know. She didn't have all the answers. I mean, she had the answers when she was coaching her team, don't get me wrong. I mean, I went to practice. I watched it. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying she was constantly trying to learn, though. She didn't stay. You know, you can't coach that long and be that successful and coach just one way, you know. And so she was always trying to evolve as a coach as well. You know, we were just – I was just lucky enough to be right down the hallway for 5 years, you know, sitting there – seen her every day, or not every day, but a lot.
Well, and the crazy thing is, one of the interviews that we did was from 2008, and she said, people always ask me about if I'm chasing John Wooden's record, if I want to win the most national. And she just didn't care about that stuff.
No.
She didn't care about having all the records. She didn't care about having the most national championships. You know, none of that.
No.
Like, it's very strange because we think that people are driven by things that they're not.
I think she cared about her players. That's what I think. You know, I think she really, really, really cared about her players. And I think probably the most impressive thing, probably the most important thing to her would be, if you asked her, or you could ask her, is probably the fact that every one of them graduated, which is astonishing, and just being able to say that. And I think probably for her, that was probably what was most important to her and her family. You know, her son and her mom and her dad and her brothers and sisters. I think those were the things that were most important to her. The piles, you know, the wins piled up, the championship. I mean, I walked down the hall every day. We had a restaurant in Thompson Bowling Arena in the hall. So our office is at the front of the hallway, and you had to walk down the hallway to get to the restaurant, and you go by the women's offices, and there's 8 national championship trophies in that hallway. I mean, you talk about intimidating. I mean, we didn't have any, okay? You know, and I'm walking down that hall every day looking at 8 national championship trophies, but you would have never known it. I mean, she just did not roll that way. And neither did her assistants. I mean, we were close. You know, Holly and Dean, and at the time, you know, Nikki was there, Caldwell. You know, we were all really good. We just got along very, very well.
The crazy thing is, right, when you said about the graduation rate thing, you take that into perspective. She coached 38 years there. How do you not have one girl that's a screw-up? Like, not one. Right.
I don't know. I mean, but I think she did a really good, I mean, you know, recruiting was important to her, you know, and that's the one thing I've found out about being around great coaches that win a lot. They're really good recruiters. Okay. And they figure, but she was not only a great recruiter, but she was really good at picking the right kids to play for her. Cause it's not for everybody.
And you, know, right, like when I said, how is there not one screw up? Like, you have to, like, your message has to get through to 100% of the time. You know what I mean?
She's a one of a kind person.
Right.
You know, there's not, you know, there's a lot of great coaches. There's a lot of this, but there's only one Pat Summitt. And there only will be one. We were very fortunate, at least I was very fortunate for 5 years of my life to be around her. You know, the state of Tennessee's had her entire life. You know, and that was very important to her. I'll tell you that. That was one of the things, you know, was I met her the first time when I was going through this little job interview, was how important the state of Tennessee was to her, how important Tennessee, the University of Tennessee, was to her and her program. Those things were, you could see that coming, you know, right out of her eyes.
Steve Forbes, a former University of Tennessee assistant coach, now the head coach at East Tennessee State University. So Brian Williams, who you had there, right? I don't know if you've seen this yet. Brian Williams went to Facebook this morning, and you coached him there, right? And
I did.
Okay, he relays his story. He said, one day Pat Summitt got so fed up at a men's practice she was watching that she took control of it. We was goofing around, and Pat was watching. She got fed up and threw the ball, and everyone stopped. She said, run sprints and run them fast. Tennessee players then looked to Coach Pearl as if to suggest, is she serious? He looked back at us and walked away and sat down, and Pat ran the rest of practice. I remember I threw up twice that day.
Honest truth is, I'm not saying it didn't happen. I wasn't there. If that happened, I didn't witness that. I would have loved to have. But I didn't personally witness. I'm not saying it didn't happen because at that time, you know, I was on the road a lot of recruiting.
Yeah.
I missed a lot of practices. So, but I mean, I can see that happening. And I sit in on her practices. You know, I've coached with three national championship women's coaches in my career, Pat Summitt, Leon Barmore at Louisiana Tech, and Gary Blair at Texas A&M. And even the late Kurt Buckey won national championships at Trinity Valley and coached with me at La Tech. I've been around some, you know, the best women's coaches that there is. I always enjoyed going to practice and sitting there and watching her run practice, you know, and you learn a lot from those type of things. And I was very fortunate for me to have there. And so she would watch us practice as well. And so I could have seen Pat doing that.
What do you learn from a Pat Summitt practice? Like when you would go in there, what are your takeaways?
Just the accountability, you know. Everybody's held to a high standard. Nobody, the best player get coached the hardest. You're not getting away with anything. She sees it all. She's demanding, you know, very detail-oriented. Fundamentals are important to her. Just a lot of those things. It sound, you know, you think, well, everybody should coach that way. Well, they don't. Okay, they don't. And just seeing her, the amount of respect the players had for her when, you know, she told them to do something, they did it, you know, to their best abilities. And those type of things, you know, real organized. Everybody had a purpose. Everybody had a plan. I didn't get to see them practice all the time. You know, sometimes it's hard when you're doing your deal. I didn't see them play a lot of games because, you know, we were always playing or on the road. Now, you know, I was there the night she was a cheerleader at our game against Florida.
Oh, that's right.
We beat Florida. That was Dame Bradshaw senior night. It was a big game, and we won on ESPN. Vitale was there, and she came out and sang Rocky Top in a cheerleading outfit and did a pyramid at the end during the timeout because Coach had taken his shirt off, you know, done his deal when they played Duke. So we had a pretty cool bond between our staffs. And, I, you know, to think, would you ever thought Pat Summitt would have done that?
No.
You know? No. But she did. And that's, I'm just saying, that goes to prove again, I think she was very happy with our success. There was no jealousy. There was no, I got to get mine. Or she had hers. She's way bigger than us as far as a coach and a person in the basketball world.
When I think
we knew that every day. We never argued that. We knew what we were, who we were with every day.
I think people don't – I think it's hard to grasp how big a deal women's basketball was. I mean, you were there on the campus.
Yeah.
They were winning. Yeah. They went back-to-back national titles while you were there. And they're, like, packing out that arena.
Yeah, no, that place was – yeah, they drew everywhere. You know you're really good is when you go on the road and you draw.
Right.
Okay, you can draw at home. But when you go on the road and it's in 2001, I think I was at Louisiana Tech, and that was the first time I ever seen Pat Summitt. They were still playing the Louisiana Tech series. And I snuck up in the bleachers the night before the game, and I watched her practice. I think Carol Lawson might have just been on the team at that time. I don't remember. But I remember watching them, and I remember thinking, man, these, whew, you know, they're dialed in. You know, but that game at La Tech, there was as many Tennessee fans from all over the country there than just La Tech fans. They were a traveling show now. So, I mean, yeah, you know you're good when you draw it home, but you know you're really good when you're selling out the opponent's place to play, too.
Yep. He is Steve.
That's when you're really good.
He is Steve Forbes. He's the head coach at East Tennessee State University. You had to, like, patch together an entire roster last year. Is your team going to be good this year?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we are.
You are?
You know, we have some really good players back, and I had three guys sitting out that are really good players. So I do believe we have a chance. Now, you know, every season is different, and we'll see, but I liked what we had. We did sign some good players, too. I got a first-team junior college All-American point guard and the second team junior college All-American wing. And I signed David Burrell out of Memphis there, out of Southwest Tennessee. He was the MVP of the region tournament. Really good player. So I do believe we have a chance, yes, to be really good.
The kids that were sitting out, are they all like big school kids?
Yeah. Hunter Perea, starting center from Indiana, 6'9". And Tevin Glass played for me at Wichita State and Northwest Florida, 6'8". And then Shamar Johnson was a freshman that I redshirted at 6'7". I think it's going to be really good. So, but Tevin and Hunter. Hunter's starting center in Indiana, so he's a good player, good player.
I need to ask you about the Wichita State guys. I know that neither of them got drafted, but I did see Baker latched on with somebody. Did Van Fleet latch on with anybody?
Yeah. Baker got a parcel deal with Knicks, and Fred got he's with the Toronto Raptors.
The Raptors. All right.
I don't really – you know the draft better than me. This is what I was told, bro. They had – like OKC wanted to – they would have drafted him in the second round, Baker, but they wanted to put him in the D League. And so I guess there's some negotiation that goes on with that. But the deal with the Knicks was he's got an invite to training camp with that deal. So I guess there's some back, as you know, there's a lot of negotiation in the second round. I think with those guys, it's probably where they were going to get drafted, but probably better off not and trying to find the right place. I think they're both really good players. I would not be surprised if they ended up in the NBA. I wouldn't. Because they're just those type. They got that kind of character and work ethic to be on a team, no question.
Well, I got to ask you this. Years ago, you famously came on the show, and I'll never forget this. I asked you about the NBA draft, and we're going through it, and you said the guy that it's ridiculous where he got drafted is Chandler Parsons. It's weird how the world spins because now the Grizzlies are probably going to go after him or at least try in free agency. Yeah. But you were convinced after coaching against him that Parsons was going to be a much better pro than where he was drafted. Was there anybody on draft night last week that you saw them where they got drafted and you thought, geez, man, that's low. Like, he's going to be good.
Normally, it's the other way around. it's like, wow, did he really get drafted there? not off the top of my head, Chris, to be honest with you. I hadn't studied it like that. I do remember saying that to you about Chandler, though. I really felt that about him. I don't think so. I don't. You know, I didn't play against a lot of those guys recently. I played against Jakob Poeltl. I tell you who's a good player. I don't remember if he was a first round or not. Is Siakam from New Mexico State?
What's his name?
Pascal Siakam.
All right,
Siakam. He's from New Mexico State. He's a good player. Very good player. He might have been a late first rounder. I don't remember. If he got into the second, but he can really go. He's 6'9" and can, like Chandler, he can score it. I like guys that can make baskets. You know, that's what I loved about Chandler was his scoring ability and his skill level. And Boris Siakam, I think is his name.
Okay, he went 20. Roser just looked it up. He went 27th to the Raptors.
Oh, okay. Oh, he did. Okay, there you go.
You coached against him?
I did at Wichita, and he was a handful. He was a handful. He was hard to guard. And Poeltl was, too, the big kid. But he went pretty high from Utah.
He was
pretty good, too.
Jakob Poeltl.
He can score.
That's a good name. Hey, though, that 27th pick, that's a good one to keep up with. Because I've never seen him. The kid probably never played on national television. I didn't know.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. Yeah, no, he's good. He's really good. He can run, got hands, and can make baskets. And, they'll put weight on him and he'll be a good player for the Raptors. And one of my best friends is the assistant for the Raptors, Nick Nurse. We grew up together in Iowa, and I'll be interested to see how he feels about him, as they go forward.
He is Steve Forbes. He's the head coach at East Tennessee State University. All right, just in closing, because we brought you on because you worked side-by-side right down the hall from Pat Summitt for so many years. Last thoughts on today. Like, if somebody asks Steve Forbes what they'll remember most about Pat Summitt.
Mm-hmm. She was one of the most genuine and, humble people I've ever met based upon who she was. And you would have never known, that she was the greatest coach in her profession. And one of the greatest coaches to ever coach the game. She just didn't act like that. She was just a really good person to be around. And that's what I'll remember by just my daily interactions with her were always, hey, and it wasn't coach. She liked to be called Pat. We called her Pat, and I just enjoyed being around her. She's just really just a good person.
Forbes, hope to catch up soon. Good luck. All right. I know off-season stuff's all going on. right now, and I'm sure we'll see you around town in the not so distant future.
All right, man. Appreciate you having me on, buddy.
Thanks, Coach. Coach yep, Steve Forbes. He's the head coach at East Tennessee State University.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.